Amen.
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 The Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Tumpigie makofi our brother John. Ametuongoza vizuri. Ninaona kama kati yetu leo, sijui kama John amerecognize visitors. All right. Now, kuna mtu anafikiria yeye ni visitor. Okay, wale wanajisikia wao ni wageni, wainue mikono juu. Let's appreciate Sarah. Karibu mgeni. Unajua mtu akikaa miezi 4 kabla akuje kanisa si ni mgeni. Na ninaona mwingine mgeni hapa. Our sister, please just wave. Okay, karibu sana. Karibuni. Na our brother pia pale mwisho, please just wave. I know you are here on Sunday. We did not acknowledge you. I think now we can go into the message this morning. I'm so excited to be here. Na wakati ninapoona kila moja wetu, as we come and we are coming into the presence of the Lord, when we come and just lift up our hands, sometimes, like today I was feeling, I think we just need time wakati hatutakuwa na hizi instruments na vitu mingi. Tunakuja tu tunainua mikono yetu juu, we acknowledge the presence of God. I really liked that worship this morning. And it really felt we are in the presence of the Lord. And now my desire, the deepest desire of my heart, is that we will all reach that unity of faith. When we come together, we know that though we come from different directions, we are united by the Spirit of God. And when we come together to lift him up, he is indeed in our presence. How I long that every one of us will get that experience of power, the power of God, that when we get into his presence, we are going to sense that power, enjoy the move of God, and we will be changed. How I long for that. I was very, very excited when I see the new believers in our midst lifting up their hands, talking and speaking to God, opening their hearts. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to behold. Last week, we started a series that we called Victorious Christian Living. Sit, walk, and stand. And today we are doing part two of the series through the book of Ephesians. And we said, just to recap, that when you are studying a book, like now we are studying a letter to the Ephesians, we needed first of all to understand the city, Ephesus. We needed to understand the church in that city. We needed to understand the messenger of that to that city. And we needed also to understand the message. And today, therefore, I want to encourage us that even before we come on Sunday, please take time to go through the 6 chapters of the book of Ephesians. And you will be very excited as we get deeper to see what is the Spirit saying to the church in Ephesus. Last week, you realized we did not even read Ephesus. We only read one verse. And again, today we may not read so much. But I just want to do an introduction to the book of Ephesians from chapter 1. We're going to read, I cannot promise we're going to discuss the whole of this portion, but because of the historical background, we cannot break this scripture. Why? Do I mean by the historical background? From Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, those are greetings. Then from there, in the original text, which is Greek, from verse 3 to 14 is actually one verse. They are not 13 verses like they may appear in your English version. So they are only given a break. You are only given those breaks so that you can read it with ease. But in the original text, from verse 3 to 14 is one verse. So we are not reading many verses today. We are reading one verse. But it is from verse 3 to verse 14. But because of consistency in what we are reading, I would want to start with verse 1. And it says, sorry, I think what I have here is verse 3 to 14, which is okay. I know we had read verse 1 to 2. So I start with verse 3 to 14. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I would request you to continue marking the points as I read them. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect with the time when times reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with his purpose, with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to be put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. This is the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit of the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it feels, this scripture feels so overwhelming. One feels like I would do like Jesus when he came to the temple and he read a scripture and he just read and sat. Because it is so, so rich that it is difficult even to get to the depth we ought to get into. Number one, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. If you have a King James Version, it says, blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, what word is constant in that sentence? Blessed be God. What has he done? He has blessed us. So when he said the first blessed is an expression of praise. Hallelujah. So when Paul says, blessed be God, he is expressing from the innermost of his being the praises unto God. Getting to God and telling him, oh, how glorious you are, how great you are. For what reason? That you have blessed us. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, look here. This is a blessing. God is being blessed. God is being exalted. God is being magnified for blessing us with every spiritual blessing. It is his joy. It is excitement for him to bless his children. And not just with any other blessing. The Bible is clear. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. When you think of every, it means all of them. It means everything that is in Christ is a blessing that you can possess. Listen again. I hope I am not sounding like I am repeating myself. That he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What is in Christ? There are lots and lots of blessings. To begin with, what about the peace of mind that is in Christ Jesus? What about the satisfaction and the fulfillment of this life? Every spiritual blessing. Sometimes, when we think about blessings, we get confused. You see me driving a good car and you think pastor is blessed. You see me coming out of a big house, you think pastor is blessed. But Paul is pointing to us that the blessing is not what we can naturally see. That car you think is a blessing. Does it mean that everybody who drives a big car is happy and fulfilled? Does it mean that everybody who lives in a big family is very excited and very, very fulfilled that they live in those big families? What the Bible is telling us, there is more to blessings than just what is physical. And this is why he is talking about every spiritual blessing. And now, how did he get this blessing, or why did he bless us with this spiritual blessing? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. My brother and my sister, if you are feeling like you are hopeless, if you are feeling like you have no direction, I want to challenge you. What the Bible is calling you blessed. And not just blessed because of what is happening in your life. God saw you in him before the creation of the world. You are not hopeless. You are not helpless. You are blessed before the creation of the world. Amen. And therefore you can afford to be happy. The situation around you may point different things. Remember when we were introducing the messenger. And the messenger Paul, who is sent to the church in Ephesus. We said if you looked at him. And in relation to the environment and the circumstances around him. He is in prison. But his eye is very clear. He can see the blessing that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. This is somebody in prison who is telling you that you are not hopeless. And he counts himself among the people in Ephesus. He says he has blessed us. It is not just about you. Even the people in prison, the circumstances may be pointing something different, but the Bible calls you blessed. Amen. Verse 2, when we were reading last week, we said that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and he says, I, Paul, an apostle by the will of God through Christ Jesus. Paul is what do we understand by the word apostle? An apostle is a sent one. Nimeenda nyuma kidogo from verse 2. It is one who has a message to deliver to other people out there. So he does not become an apostle. And he says he is an apostle of Christ by the will of God. It is not by his own making. It is not by his own, it is not a profession that he has taken. But he has been chosen, he has been sent. And I want to tell you that you have also a message for the people in among whom that you live. So he says that he is an apostle, a sent one with a particular message and a particular message to a particular people. And when he greets them, he says, greetings. Okay, let's read verse 1 and 2. He says, grace to you. Before we get to the greetings, let me start that line before. He says, this letter goes to who? To God's holy people. To God's holy people in Ephesus. The saints of God, of Christ Jesus in Ephesus. Why I have gone back is because you may look at yourself and you think like you really do not matter. If you are like me, you came from a background which was canonizing people. The world of today has told us that for you to be saint, there are several conditions. I don't know whether you have ever thought about the people we call saints. What made them saints? Paul is saying that you do not have to go through the process set by people to be a saint. So he says, I am writing to the saints of Christ in Ephesus, to God's holy people. Now, what makes you holy? What makes you a saint? What is this that makes you chosen? That is now where we are in the verse 4, where he says that for you have been chosen in him. That is what qualifies you. It is not about what you do, my brother. It is not about what you do not do. The qualification that you have is that you have been chosen in him. So Paul says, if he was to write about to us today, he would write to the saints that are in Grace Hill Mission Church, Northlands. To the saints in Grace Hill Mission Church. And these saints, they have not been canonized. You know, the Catholic, the Roman Catholic has a way. They have some set conditions for you to be declared a saint. And I think I really do not like a great number of them. But one that really discourages me and I don't like it at all is number one. You have to be dead for at least 5 years. That is number one. For you to be made a saint, you have to be dead. You know, dead. At least after 5 years, they know he ujama hawezi rudi. That is number one. Then they say you have to have lived an extraordinary life when you are living. You must have done at least one miracle. That was actually what I found very funny, is that when we say of a miracle, they have a team of experts in Rome, in Italy. They are doctors. They are psychologists. They are everybody who comes and listens to the people who are claiming that they experienced a miracle in your ministry. And all that they do, they listen to you and they do not say that he is a saint, but they say that this one is extraordinary. It is science cannot prove it. You know, I just thought, when Paul, did they have to go through all this to be called saints? No, theirs was only one thing, that God has chosen them. And when you are to be declared a saint, the process is very long. I was just looking at it and I thought, yeah, okay. Paul has made us a shortcut to just enter into the... Number one, they said that you've got to be dead for at least 5 years, living an extraordinary life, having a miracle. Then the bishops meet. Then they present you. They present your case to the Pope. Then the process begins. Now, after all that is done, this is when the process begins. So you start by being referred to as the servant of God. Then after being the servant of God, you are referred to as the vulnerable. Then from there, you are blessed. I mean, you are referred to as blessed so and so. Then you are blessed to the point that now you are canonized and you become a saint. But Paul says, you are already a saint. You are qualified by God choosing you. Now, God chose you and did what to you? He justified you. Now, by justification, when we talk about justification in the Bible, I just thought, let me just go to Google and see how do they understand this word? And according to Google, I quote Google, in Christian theology, justification is God's righteous act of removing guilt and the penalty of sin in life of a man, while at the same time declaring the ungodly to be righteous through faith in Christ. I'm not quoting the Bible. I'm quoting Mr. Google or Uncle Google. So he has defined it this way, that for God to justify you, it is God's act of righteousness, removing guilt. If you were to be justified by your own act, the Bible says, you or I have, we have all sinned. Together we are sinners. But God decided, God designed it, that he does not want to count you guilty. He does not want to look at you as a guilty man. So he lifts up your guilt. Having lifted up your guilt, he now imputes his godly righteousness upon you. How? By the atoning of the blood of Jesus, or the sacrifice of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I want to declare to you, my brothers and my sisters, you have been declared righteous. You are no, you have no guilt. God is not counting anything upon you. Only that he is counting his righteousness upon you. So because we are in the book of Ephesians, I want to divide that book. I want you to help you see how that book is divided. From chapter 1 to chapter 3, the major thing that you see, the division there is about justification. How you get justified through Christ. And you will see the word that you keep seeing once and another time is the word that says in him. Praise the Lord. He says in him. If you are keen, and I want you to go underlining in your Bible, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3, it is about being in him. Please underline in your, take time, underline how many things have happened or you have in him. You have spiritual blessings. You have been justified in him. You have been adopted into his kingdom. So many things. So the main word is in him, all through him. I want you to be keen and observe that. Now from there, from verse chapter 4 to chapter 6, we see the Bible concentrates on sanctification. We have talked about justification, that the righteousness of God has been imputed on you. You have been counted righteous by God's act of doing. So chapter 3, from verse chapter 1 to chapter 3, is about what God has done. What God has done minus what you have done. Chapter 4, therefore, now tells you, now that you have been justified, how then do you behave? If you interchange this, if you interchange the justification of God or your sanctification, your acts, your behavior to come before justification of God, that would mean that the Christian faith becomes hopeless, becomes like any other faith. Look at all the other faiths. They start with your behavior before you can be justified. They tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But in Christ, you have been told, come to Jesus. You will be justified. You have been justified. Then go and behave likewise. In Christian faith, your belief affects and completely directly dictates your behavior. In other faiths, your behavior dictates your justification. I don't know whether I am clear. Paul is telling the Ephesians, now, this is what Christ has done to you. Now that you have been justified, go and behave like this and this and this. So, in chapter 1 to 3, he is talking about what Christ has done. In chapter 4 to 6, he is talking about, now that you have been saved, how do you behave? So, I want us to look at a few things of what God has done. You realize Paul has, he's bringing us from our past to the present to the future. And I want to repeat a little bit of our reading. When he says that God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That is a present and continuous. That you are blessed by God. He blessed you from where? He adopted you. That again is the past. Your past was like you are lost. You are lost in sin. You are lost without a father, without God. But God came into your life, adopted you into his family, and therefore, having justified you by adoption, bringing you into his kingdom, he demands of you, therefore, go and behave. Amen. So even as you start your journey, I want to tell you that as we go preaching, because we will go out telling people, we do not go and tell people how good we are. Sometimes salvation is mistaken. When you go out there and you tell somebody, I am saved, what they are getting, many of them, they get ya kwamba, mimi sio mwenye dhambi, mimi sifanyi dhambi. But the truth of the matter is, you and I know we have all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But God has justified us, has brought us to himself, that I can walk in that confidence, knowing that indeed the Lord has justified me in the past. I'm therefore striving to become what he demands of me. So the idea of justifying you, the idea of you being changed, it's God's idea. It is not your idea. It is not how you have thought about it. Think about, did you know how lost you are before you got born again? You know, you lived like as though everything was normal. But praise be to God, when he brought you to Christ, he brought you to Christ and opened the eyes of your understanding, and you can always wonder, how did I live my life being so lost? How was I able to navigate through this life while I was so lost in sin? But praise be to the name of the Lord. He has adopted us. Now, this is a line that has brought a lot of confusion. Having blessed us with every spiritual blessing, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy. So my brother, you are chosen to be holy, and not only to be holy, to be blameless. Chosen to be holy and blameless, but in the sight of who? In the sight of God. It is not in the sight of men. Men will look for messes in your life. They will look for sins. But in the eyes of God, you are chosen to be holy. When he adopted you, when he adopted you, let me read what he says. Blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ. Now, so much has been said about predestination. So much, many doctrines and many churches, many cults have been developed out of this. Somebody tells you that God predestined every one of us. In Kikuyu, they say that the graph has been drawn. Because they tend to think that when God predestined you, he decided for you. It is not predetermined. Predestined, okay. If we were to have, like, just an imagination that this seat is preserved for the pastor and it is written, reserved. What about if he came and chose to sit where my brother Gitau is seated? Would this seat be still his? Now, you see, predestination is when God decided for you that you are to be holy, you are to be blameless. But you can come, and once you appear, you can decide, I want to sit there. This seat is practically open for you, but you are not enjoying it. This is what predestination is. God desired that every one of us will enjoy the blessing of being a son of God. He desired that you may be predestined for us to be adopted for sonship through Christ. The only way to be adopted into God's family is through Christ. It is not in any other way. And if you are looking for any other way, I can assure you, you will not get it. It can only be through Christ. And if you are here in our midst, you still do not have a very clear understanding of what you are or who you are in Christ, my message to you is, it is only in Christ you can get adoption into the family of God. Why, therefore, do you want to take a life that is not predestined for you? God has pressure. He has pressure in bringing people, children of his, to his family. But it is to the praise and to the glory of his name. He has freely given us in the one he loves. So there are blessings he has given to us, but we can enjoy them if we choose to. And as I conclude, we're going to continue looking at how many things or many things that Christ has done for us. And let me just, before I get there, let me also look at who is involved in making us what we are. Says God has adopted, has predestined us through Christ Jesus and sealed us by the seal, the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, I'll keep going back to the history. We were talking about Ephesus being a port city. And for them to understand what Paul means when he talks about the seal. If today you go to the port and we have a very good container here, this is one of them. If you want to know that this thing has not been tampered with, there is, it comes na mizigo, imefungwa pale, na imewekwa nini? Seal. God desired it. God designed it. Sent the Holy, his Holy Son, that through him you may be adopted into his kingdom. And then by the seal, he sealed you into his own. Hallelujah. Amen. He sealed you completely. If you are to send this container, it comes from, like, this one maybe came from Britain, came from China, wherever and wherever. For you to know that your container has reached you without being tampered with, what do you check? You check the seal. And the Holy Spirit is saying that Jesus, God chose you. Then Jesus adopted you in his family. The Holy Spirit sealed you for the kingdom. You are sealed until we all reach the unity of faith. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Until we all reach that unity, you have been sealed to be delivered into the kingdom of God, at the throne room of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. You could be a new believer. You may not be understanding so much. But the truth of the matter is, as you continue getting deeper and deeper in the word of God, remember, you have been sealed for this kingdom. Let's continue seeking God. So God is involved, God the Father. God the Holy Spirit is involved. And God the Son is also involved. And they are involved in doing what? Ephesians 2 verse 8, salvation. Romans chapter 3 verse 24, what are they involved in? Justifying you. Romans 5:20, victory over sin. Look, these are blessings that if you looked at them, you will not live like you are helpless. You will not live your life as though you are defeated. I see a number of you are writing. I have said that among the spiritual blessing is the blessing of salvation. You will get that in in Ephesians 2, verse 28. The blessing of being justified, you will get that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, you will get the blessing of victory over sin. You will also get the blessing of the power to testify, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and the power to serve. You have been justified, you have been saved, you have been justified, you have victory over sin, you have the power to serve, you have the power over sin, and finally, you have been adopted, therefore, live as one of the kingdom. Live as the children of the kingdom of God. This is what God is calling you. So in your everyday life, that what you do, can people around you testify and say that though we live with so-and-so, we work with so-and-so in this office, we know he lives and he portrays characters of a different kingdom. You have been adopted. Live as you belong to the kingdom that God has called you to belong. And maybe, as I conclude, you could have been here and you do not belong to this kingdom. And you would want to say, yes, I would want to belong to this kingdom. I want to be adopted to belong to this kingdom of God. That God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit may be involved in my life in making me what they want of me. I would want to give you this opportunity. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, are you there and you would want to say yes to him? Can just show us by lifting up your hand. We are going to make a prayer with you. And you will start a journey of faith. Just like we began one day. When everything was so uncertain. Everything didn't look like it will take shape. But I want to praise God that it took shape. And we stand here, some of us, many years down the line. With a testimony of a salvation. And some God having changed our lives. Today, God can change your life. God can make your life different, my brother. My sister, God can make your life different. But are you willing to say yes to this calling and to this invitation into the family of God? Are you there? Maybe you can just lift up your hand. We are going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Shall we pray? We give you praise and we give you honor for allowing us to sit in your presence that you may speak to us. Our God, it is not in the wisdom of man that the heart of man can be convinced, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you can speak with clarity in our heart. I pray that in the name of Jesus, everybody who is sitting in this sanctuary this morning, Lord, you are going to continue changing their lives through the power of your word. It is not because of how powerful I am in my speaking. But our Father, you can follow them. You can follow us every day of our lives, convincing us. And Lord, giving to us this power, the power of your word, making it clear to us in our minds and in our hearts that indeed we have been called, we have been adopted into your family, and that God, we may walk in this unity together with you. May you bless our going out. May you bless our coming in. How I pray that every one of us will be kept safe from this pandemic that is all of us, surrounding us. So much uncertainty. We pray for your healing upon our lives. Lord, we pray for our brothers and our sisters also who may be at home. Some of them could be suffering pain. Some of them could be suffering, could be suffering uncertainty. Some of them could be suffering physically and even spiritually. Our prayer is that you're going to shed, Father, your healing power upon their lives. Pray that you're going to touch them. I pray that you're going to restore them to health. Even in our midst, could there be people who are ailing in one way or another? My prayer is that, God, you are going to touch every one of us and even giving to us the health that your word says that it is food for your children. I thank you and I glorify you. And now, Lord, as we go home, we pray that your blessings are going to be upon us. Bless our jobs, O God. We pray that our businesses will be established. You will give us clients. You will give us customers, our Father. You will open new doors for those who run shops. May you bring customers to buy. For those who offer services, may you cause other people even to demand what they are selling, O God. And for those of us, dear Father, who are in ministry, we pray for your favor in a big way. That God, all of us together, We will be witnesses of your power and witnesses of your doing in our lives. We thank you and we glorify you. We pray that you may bless our food, that you may bless and sanctify even our very water that we drink, that none of us, dear Father, will suffer misfortune in the course of the week that is ahead of us, but we are going to enjoy your real blessing, blessing of being in your presence, blessing of being watched over by your power, and that, Lord, when we come together on Sunday again, we will be careful to give you praise and to give you honor, for you are God together with us, blessing us in our going out, blessing us in our coming in. For you are our God. We thank you and glorify you. We pray this, trusting and believing in Jesus' holy name.